right in here. Glory to God. Well, turn with me in your Bibles to James chapter 5. Over the last several weeks, I've been preaching along the line of prayer. And we first started over there in Ephesians 6:18. And we saw that there are many different kinds of prayer, right? We remember it says praying always with all manner of prayer. We looked at some different translations with all kinds of prayer, giving us the idea that there are different kinds of prayer. Not all prayer is the same, okay? There are different kinds of praying that help us to pray in every different scenario, right? They accomplish different things, they're governed by different principles, right? And we started by looking at the prayer of praise and worship. And we remember Paul and Silas that when they were in their darkest hour, remember over there in Acts 16:25, it says, at midnight, Paul and Silas sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, and the foundation of the jail was shaken. Remember that?
Yes.
And of course, that prayer brought them to closer devotion with the Lord, but it also delivered them, right? It also is a form of dedication, the prayer of praise and worship. And we started there because every time we pray, there should be an element of praise and worship.
Yes.
You know, so many times we go to God and the only thing we do is ask Him for things, you know? Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, I think about how that must just get kind of old for God, you know? I mean, so to speak. That all we do is we come and we request and we request and He wants us to. But we forget to praise and worship Him. And we saw over there in Acts 13:1, remember how there were certain prophets and teachers in the church that was at Antioch, and it says, as they ministered to the Lord, right? As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, they weren't there requesting anything. They weren't asking God for anything. They just set some time apart to just praise and worship Him.
Amen.
Praise and worship Him. I tell you what, if you have a dry prayer life, I can tell you it's because maybe there's a lack of praise and worship in your prayer life. Sometimes that's all I do when I pray.
Yeah.
Is just take time to minister to God's needs. Because sometimes all we want Him to do is minister to our needs, right? And then we talked about the prayer of supplication. We talked about how to request from God, right? And then we talked about the prayer of intercession and how to pray for other folks or stand in the gap, so to speak, right? And then we talked last week about the prayer of commitment, committing our cares or casting our cares. These are different forms of prayer that accomplish different things. So often we just jumble it all together, you know, and just throw anything, you know, up towards heaven and hope that it sticks. Well, we need to know how these things are governed. We need to know what prayers accomplish what things, right? We know over there, remember when Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 2, first of all, that prayers, supplications, intercessions, and the giving of thanks be made for all men, for everyone that's in authority.
Yes.
Remember? He started listing different kinds of prayer because not all prayer reaches the same people.
Right. That's right.
Not every prayer accomplishes the same thing. And so we need to know what prayer accomplishes what. We need to know how to intercede for people.
Yes. Come on.
Amen. We taught on that. We need to know how to request on behalf of the saints. Right?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. We need to know how to praise and worship God in prayer.
Yes.
Praise God. Good. We need to know how to cast our cares.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, if you're living a worried life as a Christian, you're living the low life. There's no lower life than living under the burden of fear all the time. And if you weren't here Wednesday night, you need to go back to our archives and watch that service because we taught on how to be free from fear and how to make sure fear doesn't pry away the blessings of God in your life. Right? Amen. And today, we're going to talk about the prayer of faith. Glory to God. So I'm excited about this. James chapter 5. The prayer of faith in what it is and what it does, when you can use it and who you use it for. You know, we could just sit up here and we could just, you know, tell funny stories and read a poem and have, you know, a little happy little homily or something. But then we go out and we don't know what to do. When you come to church here, you're going to know what to do, what God said to do, and what gets results. Amen. Let's start in James 5 and verse 13. We're going to read right on down through just about the end of the chapter. And in verse 13, he says, is any among you afflicted or troubled? The word affliction here is not speaking of sickness. He's going to talk about that in a second. He says, is any among you afflicted or troubled or in a trial? It says, let him pray. Notice the number one person that's to be praying for your trial is you. I can't pray you out of a trial by myself. Okay? You understand that. People around you, you know, even the most faithful Christians, right? They can't pray you out of a trial by themselves. Your faith is going to have to be involved. And you're going to see that today with the prayer of faith. We're going to talk about that. That first and foremost, you use the prayer of faith for yourself, but also for others, and we'll talk about that. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Just like I can't do your singing for you, I can't do your praying for you. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms or songs of praise. Well, you could say it this way. If you want to be merry, sing psalms. Some people, you're waiting for the feeling of joy just to jump on your life. Sometimes you're just going to have to prime the pump even when it seems like there's nothing there to prime. Say, well, I don't feel like singing today. Well, then that is the greatest opportunity to have faith.
Yes, there you go.
That is when faith is going to work the most, is when you don't feel like it. Because faith is so different than feelings. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad you aren't what you feel all the time? Aren't you glad you're not your emotions all the time?
Amen.
Aren't you glad you don't have to live by every thought that jumps into your head?
Amen.
Oh man, you are not your thoughts. You don't have to live by everything that's going on up in here. That's why the Bible says if you're led by the Spirit, you're the sons and daughters of God. You're not, you know, led by every thought that comes to your head. Oh my goodness. I know I've said this a lot of times, but I mean, don't you every day just have thoughts go through your head that you just think, oh my goodness, you know, if anyone knew that that was in there? Come on now, don't you look so spiritual and act like, no, thoughts come to every single one of us. You cannot prevent every thought from entering your head, just like you cannot prevent every bird from flying over. But like Brother Hagin used to say, he used to say, you know, you can't stop the birds from flying over, but you can stop them from making a nest in your hair.
That's right.
Just like you can't stop every thought from coming in, but you can handle it, you know, once it gets there.
Yes.
You can prevent whether it's going to set up shop in there or not.
That's right.
Amen. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, or makes much power available. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Wow. Wow. Praise God. Well, and then verse 18, it says, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. And now it's telling us what kind of prayer Elijah prayed. He prayed the prayer of faith. All right, in context, he's talking about the prayer of faith. What is the prayer of faith? Are you ready? The prayer of faith is the prayer that changes things. It works in the realm that we live in, meaning it works in this natural realm to change the natural realm. Praise the Lord. All right? It is how you change the natural realm. Now, go back over there when it's talking about Elijah. It says, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And yet he prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then he prayed again, and the rain came down. You remember that over there? Oh, what chapter was that? 1 Kings 18:19. You can read the account for yourself over there, 17 or 18. It's right there in the chapters, 1 Kings 17, 18, 19, of when Elijah... Remember when he prayed and it ceased in rain, right? Well, notice that when he prayed the prayer of faith and it changed the situation.
Yes.
It was a prayer that dominated the natural forces.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, what we're talking about here is a prayer of faith to change things. Now, notice that Elijah was no different than we are.
Right.
I love that. It didn't say that Elijah could pray that way because he was a great prophet. Yeah, come on now. Are you all awake? You're not catching up on that hour of sleep right now. Praise the Lord. Look at what it says there. Verse 17, Elijah was a man subject to the same passions. He was subject to the same feelings like we are. But he prayed and it stopped raining. And remember, that was something that God told him to do as judgment against King Ahab. Remember that? And a famine came on the earth and it was judgment because, you know, they wanted to, God was showing who was boss. Remember that? And the way God brought his plan, you know, to that sector of the earth was to raise up somebody who's going to pray the prayer of faith to change it. So many times we're waiting for God to do something to change the situation or the circumstances when he has given us the prayer of faith to change it.
That's right. Amen.
He has authorized you to change it. That's why verse 13 says, is any among you afflicted or troubled? Let him pray. Let him pray what? Let him pray the prayer of faith. Let him offer his faith to change that situation.
That's right.
You know, yes, other people can join their faith with yours. That's a different kind of praying. That's a prayer of agreement. You know, and we'll talk about that, the Lord willing, if that's where we get to. But we're talking about the prayer of faith.
Right.
And so many times people, they don't understand that God has given within them a measure of faith, the ability to speak to these things. Amen.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. But I want to focus on, because so many people, they think they're not qualified to pray the prayer of faith. Or they think that pastors or prophets or some, you know, big ministry name with some great accomplishment, you know, has the ability to pray this way. But notice it says Elijah was just like us.
Yes.
He had the same feelings. He had the same attacks of doubt in his head.
Yes. Sure.
Amen. Yep.
That's right.
And yet he just prayed earnestly.
Right.
That's all Elijah did. He did not stop the rain because he was a prophet.
Right. Good.
He did not stop the rain because of his accomplishments. He stopped the rain because he prayed earnestly. Praise the Lord. He prayed sincerely. He prayed with depth in his heart. He prayed just honestly. And it worked. Glory to God. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth his fruit. Notice you can pray. The Bible is giving you the same kind of authority, the same kind of power and ability to pray as Elijah did. Now, that does not mean that you're going to step out. Believe me. If I was ready to get out there and use my faith, maybe we should be using our faith about this snow and this winter and this cold. Maybe we should understand that the prayer of faith can overturn some of this stuff, all right? But I'm not so much talking about dealing with the weather, because neither is God here. The rain wasn't a matter of whether Elijah liked rain or not. It was a matter of changing the wickedness of that nation. You understand that? The whole thing here is referencing King Ahab, who was evil, right? Remember Jezebel, his wife, and he tried to kill Elijah and the prophets of God. Remember her? Okay. God was allowing his man to change the entire environment of a nation. Who are the people in this country right now that are going to change society, change the environment, the atmosphere of our nation? If it's not us, it's not going to be anybody. If it's not us, and I don't mean family church, I mean born-again believers, Bible-believing believers, right?
That's right.
You would think that that'd be the only kind of believers out there, right? As Bible-believing ones. But you know what I mean? See, we so much think, well, God's just going to change it if he wants to. No, he needs co-laborers.
Yes.
He needs a force right here in this realm that are going to speak to this realm to bring about the will of God in this realm.
Yes.
I mean, even we see that example even in the Lord's Prayer. Pray that his will, God's will, be done on earth as it is in heaven. If God could automatically just work his will on the earth without us praying, then why would Jesus teach us to do that? Then why would Jesus teach us, pray the Lord's will done on earth as it is in heaven? Because he needs us. He needs that authority. He needs that prayer of faith right here. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, but some people say, well, I'm just, you know, I'm just not a powerful enough Christian. I haven't done enough for God and yada, yada, yada. No, that's why it says Elijah was a man just like you are. He just prayed earnestly. He didn't give in to those thoughts of doubt and weakness and so on. Praise God. Now go with me to Mark chapter 11, and we see Jesus teaching on the prayer of faith. Hallelujah. The prayer to change your situation. Is anyone afflicted? Let him pray. Is anyone troubled? Let him pray. Is anyone sick? Notice the prayer of faith will save the sick. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so we see a bunch of different realms that the prayer of faith can work in, right? It works in the realm of a national society, doesn't it?
Yes.
It saves folks from sickness, right?
Amen.
We can pray for political leaders, the prayer of faith. Pray for our nation with the prayer of faith. We can pray for the sick with the prayer of faith.
Yes.
And now we're going to talk about praying for our needs, right, with the prayer of faith. Because Jesus said, if anyone's afflicted, let him pray.
That's right.
Or the book of James did. Jesus is going to say something over here. Mark chapter 11, a very familiar passage of scripture for us. But we're going to start over there. Praise God. Mark used to be in my Bible. Glory to the Lord. Let's start over there in verse 12. Mark 11, 12. And it says, on the morrow, when they, this is Jesus and his disciples, were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Jesus was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Oh, you know, I always can't help but stop and take a moment and think about how this tree is really the epitome of hypocrisy. It looked like one thing, but it had no fruit. And unfortunately, that could be the body of Christ if we're not careful. We have the church clothes, the church smile, you know, we act a certain way in church, but really there's no fruit in our life. You know, because I tell you, you know, like I say all the time, the real you is not here today. The real you is how you're conducting your life behind closed doors.
Amen.
Where only God can see. Because it's easy to come for a couple hours on a Sunday morning and put on a show. Let's not be that way. Let's be the real thing. I don't want to look like I have the leaves and have no fruit. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. And Jesus answered. Now, of course, Jesus was not okay with no fruit. It says, Jesus answered and said, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Jesus spoke to the tree. All right. And now, you know the story. Go on over to verse 20. And it says, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. Now, look what Jesus says in the next verse, so we know what he's talking about. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Now, if you have a marginal rendering of verse 22, it'll kind of translate literally what Jesus said in the Greek. I have it in my margin here. Jesus said, have the faith of God. How many of you have that in your Bible? Right? How many of you won't raise your hand no matter what I say? All right? Literally in the Greek, Jesus said, have the faith of God. And he was explaining exactly what it was that changed that tree. What it was that withered it up. It was the prayer of faith.
Yes.
Amen. Or words of faith. Glory to God.
Amen.
And now verse 23 says, Jesus says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray. See, we're talking about prayer here.
Yes.
Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you have received them, then you shall have them.
That's right.
All right? Some of you aren't with me here. Some of you are, pull it on in. Glory to God. Right? Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and then you shall have them. First of all, Peter, he was astonished that the tree had dried up. But Jesus wasn't surprised. Because that is what the prayer of faith is. It is a declaration, and it is final. When you speak the prayer of faith, when you release the prayer of faith, you consider it done. Jesus did not sit there and watch the tree withered. He spoke, and then he went away and went about his business. See, the reason why so many times faith doesn't work for people, because in their minds it's not final. The prayer of faith is always final. It always brings finality. You don't have to sit around. When you use a prayer of faith, whether it's over symptoms in your body, whether you use the prayer of faith over somebody else, now we're going to talk about that. Because you have to understand that the prayer of faith, your prayer of faith can't always get someone else healed. You'll have to understand that. But when you use the prayer of faith, it needs to be final.
Yes, good.
It needs to be it. You need to leave it right there. Yes. You don't need to, you know, a lot of times people, they'll use the prayer of faith and then they'll start checking their body to see if the pain went away. They'll use the prayer of faith over their finances and they'll start checking their account. Or they'll use the prayer of faith and they'll wring their hands or they'll worry about something. If you use the prayer of faith, it has to be 100% final in your mind, in your heart. You are no longer going to touch that thing ever again.
Right, amen. Good.
Meaning touch it with your worry and your cares and your anxiety. Yep. Jesus spoke the prayer of faith, right? He knew that it was going to change the situation. Peter was astonished, but Jesus wasn't. Because Jesus understands that faith works in this realm. Faith works to change this realm.
Yes.
And God needs your faith to work in this realm.
Right.
You have to understand, our nation will not change without the faith of the church.
Amen.
Your situation will not change automatically.
Right.
It needs faith to move on it.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. And when you speak it, it needs to be final. Jesus said, have the faith of God, have faith in God. Both are true, both are accurate. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, whosoever,
yes.
Not just Elijah,
right.
Not just Jesus,
right.
Not just sister prayer warrior,
no.
Not just, you know, pastor or whoever,
right.
But you,
yes.
Whosoever.
Yes.
See, I see myself in that verse, and not because I'm a pastor.
Right.
I see you in that verse. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, what are you saying? What in your times of whether it's affliction or just a need or whatever, what are you saying about it? Because the faith and the authority that God has put in this realm is waiting on you.
Yes, good. That's right. Amen.
You know, God, you change it. God, you change it. God, you change it. He didn't say he was going to change it. Jesus said, you speak to the mountain.
That's right.
Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. This is helping us. And say, well, Pastor, I've heard this 100 times. Well, I bet you've eaten more, you know, if you're at least my age, I bet you've eaten, you know, spaghetti more than once. How many cheeseburgers have you had in your life? I bet you've had more than 100 if you counted them all up. But you're not going to never eat a cheeseburger again because you've had it so many times. You keep going back to that which is good. I mean, when God says, here's faith, here's the force that made your realm, therefore it can change your realm. Jesus spoke to the tree. The Bible says that the tree withered from the root on up. Most trees, when they die from the top on down. But this one, it started at the root. That is where faith goes. It goes to the root of the issue. Notice that when Jesus spoke to that tree and he walked away, that thing started dying under the ground where you couldn't see. But yet above the ground, on the surface, it looked alive and well. But faith was killing it at the root.
Yes.
There's times you can speak to things in your body and the symptoms don't go away initially.
Right.
Or you can speak to your financial situation.
Yeah.
or speak to whatever trouble or whatever it is you're going through. Whatever you use, you know, you could speak to the atmosphere in our country. You know, the environment, the political environment, and we might not see an instant change, but at the root, faith is working.
It's working.
At the root, where nobody else sees, it's drying up.
Yes,
glory to God. So don't be discouraged if it doesn't look like it doesn't change immediately.
Right.
Because many times things don't change in the natural.
Yeah.
Meaning instantly. They don't change instantly in the natural, but know this. Faith is working at the root.
That's right. Amen.
You know, when you water a plant, do you see an instant change? You know, I'm not, believe me, I'm not a botanist. I'm not a gardener. I don't even like to mow my yard, you know what I mean? But, you know, you've seen plants that maybe they've been just a little neglected. Not in my house. My wife does an awesome job with the plants, and, you know, just does a great job. But I've seen plants before that you could just tell they could use a drink, right? And you come over and you have mercy on that plant, and you're like, oh, man. And you put that water in there. And you ever see that when it's dry potting soil and it's just kind of crusty on top, and you pour that water, and it kind of sits on top for a second, and all of a sudden you see that water go, boom.
Yeah.
It just sinks and it goes away. You know what I mean? But how many of you know you don't see those leaves just go, boop, full green again?
Right.
It went down there. You know, isn't it kind of amazing how water can do that? You know, it gets under the surface. I always kind of look at that and think, that's pretty cool. You know, you pour it on there and it all kind of sits on top for a second. Then it just seems like all at once it just decides to go down to the roots. It's just sitting on top of the dirt and all at once just goes, meow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I guess I'm impressed by the small things in life. You know, or you're watering something. Or, you know, you're at the ocean on the beach and the huge wave comes up and then, you know, it recedes back out. And then you watch that sand, you know, and all the water just doesn't seem to all rush back out that way. Some of it just goes, boo, just drops right down. Well, we don't see an instant change when you water that plant. But you see it, and where does it go? It goes down to the root. And you know it's down there working where life matters the most. And though I can't see the effects right away, I know that a change started to work on the behalf of that plant. In the same way, faith is like that water sitting on that thing, and all of a sudden it goes, boo. It sinks right down there.
Yes.
It looks like it almost like, oh, I don't know, like it's like Star Trek, you know, beams down. It just goes. Where is it? You know, it just disappears. And it goes somewhere where the eye can't see.
There you go.
But you know it's benefiting that plant, even if the leaves still look brown today.
Sure.
You know a change is coming because something got down to feed those roots.
Amen.
In the same way, when you speak to your situation, that went down. It got down under the surface.
Yes.
You know, how many of you, you know, and if you do this, God bless you, and maybe you know something about gardening that I don't, but when a plant is in that kind of great need, I'm talking leaves are withering, and I know there's probably some benefit. You might, like, spray down the leaves here and there. I don't know. But if you looked at a plant that was in desperate need of water and was starting to wither away, you wouldn't just take the mist bottle and go out and mist the leaves. You would say, well, you know, that might seem good. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't even seem good. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You wouldn't be so confident in the change of that plant, would you?
Right.
Why? Because it's not getting to the roots.
Right.
It's not getting to the roots.
Yeah.
You know, that's what Christians are like when they pray. God, help me. God, do this. God, oh, and they just, all they do is whine and whimper before God. What are they doing? They're just misting the leaves. They might be praying, but they're not praying the prayer of faith. They might be misting the leaves, you know, just by thinking, well, I prayed about it. I told God about it. Well, good, that's fine. But you're going to have to pray the prayer of faith. You're going to have to pray the prayer of faith, and I'm going to show you what the prayer of faith looks like. Well, Jesus showed us, didn't he? The prayer of faith over in verse 14, Jesus said, no man eat fruit from thee ever again.
That's right.
That was pretty bold.
Sure.
That sure didn't look like a prayer, did it? But it was. Jesus went on and said, listen, I'm not surprised. I use the faith of God. I dried it up with my faith. Wow. Notice Jesus didn't go into a big lamenting. He didn't stop and say, oh God, you know, if you would, if you could, and you know, he didn't, notice he didn't request anything. That's supplication. He didn't say, Father, would you please dry up this tree? Right? That's supplication. He didn't. He didn't praise and worship at this point. He didn't say, Father, I praise you and worship you. You're so good in all your glory. I ask you to dry up this tree. He didn't praise and worship. He didn't supplicate. He didn't intercede. He spoke faith. And notice what faith is. It is a declaration. Right? That's what it was. He spoke directly. He said, this is what it's going to be. This is what's going to happen.
That's it.
And he called it the faith of God.
Good.
Whose idea was that? It was Jesus' idea. Oh, come on. Somebody, you say, oh my goodness, if I could just do that like Jesus. If I could just speak to my financial situation and say, savings account, grow in Jesus' name. If I could speak to my body and say, body, you're healed in Jesus' name. If I could speak to my mind and say, you're filled with peace in Jesus' name.
Yeah, good. Amen.
Well, Jesus just said you can.
That's right. Amen.
And so Peter was extremely impressed in verse 21. And in verse 22, Jesus said, you have the faith of God.
Right.
And he says in verse 23, for verily I say to you that whosoever shall do what I just did,
there you go.
It'll work.
Yes.
Jesus spoke his words. He believed what he said was going to come to pass, and it happened.
That's right.
Now, let's qualify this, because some people run amok with this, and they start saying, you know, they're going to go out and point to their Buick and turn it into a Porsche and all this stuff. No, let's not be dumb, you know, and all this stuff. But no, God gave us faith to change the situation. And he gave us several scenarios in the Bible that we can use the prayer of faith. You can use a prayer of faith for your country. You can use a prayer of faith for the sick. And you can now use the prayer of faith for what you desire.
Yes.
Look at verse 24. Jesus said, therefore, since you can say to the mountain, since you can make a declaration. Here, oh my goodness, what does a prayer of faith look like? I just demonstrated, but I want to make sure it gets right to where you live. Here's a prayer of faith, okay? Say, you know, finances are short and you have a mortgage payment coming up. All right? And you realize, wait a minute, something happened, you know, an unexpected expense that we had to pay or there are unexpected repairs on the vehicle or whatever, and now we have our mortgage payment coming up and it doesn't look like we're going to have enough. Or there was a medical bill that you had to pay. Or school clothes that you need to buy for the kids. We just want to put this in the realm of where you live. Now, you have two options. Either you can say, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? And panic and worry about it. Or you can understand that God gave you the prayer of faith to change the situation.
Amen.
Right? Or you can just step up and say, no, we will have enough. You could point at that mortgage payment and say, you will be paid in Jesus' name.
That's right.
But my God shall supply all my needs by his riches and glory in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That is absolutely right. You know, you don't have to work up some big articulate prayer. You don't have to request and go into interceding and, you know, and all this big hoopla in prayer. When you need something to change, the prayer of faith is direct. It is final. It is a declaration. You can look at that thing and say, payment, you will be paid in full in Jesus' name. How many of you hear me all the time speak to this building? 3130 Garfield Road is paid in full in Jesus' name. What is that? That's a prayer of faith. What about that mortgage payment? It's drying up at the root. The water went down. I saw it go in there. It's working. Come on. You know, say, well, Pastor, we still have a mortgage on this building. Yeah, but it's half paid off already. You know, more than that now. And the rest is drying up at the root. Drying up at the root. I have spoke to my debt.
Oh, yes.
I've spoken to certain, back when I had credit cards, credit card debt, you know, I mean, just, you know, car payments and things like that. You can speak to those things. I'll tell you what, if that prayer of faith could dry up the tree, it can dry up a debt. If you owe money on your house, I speak my address all the time and I say, such and such address is paid in full in Jesus' name. I point to my vehicles. That vehicle's paid in full in Jesus' name. I'm not going to be burdened by debt forever. Say, well, this just sounds radical and this sounds, well, this is what Jesus gave you to master this realm. If you're in need of a job, I say a job comes to me in Jesus' name. The Bible says in Psalm 5:12, the Lord will bless the righteous. He will surround them with favor like a shield. Yeah, you got to say that. I have favor with that potential employer. I have favor. I have a friend down in Texas who was talking to me recently about his business. He has this business that makes, you know, certain equipment for the United States government. And he was talking about, you know, his business situation. And he's a Christian man and goes to church down there and stuff. And he's like, you know, please pray for me. Please pray for me. Please pray for me. I'm like, well, sure, of course I will. But I said, but what are you saying about it? He said, you know, he said, but I don't know. My company is not going to get recognized because there's all these other companies that are much bigger. And even though we have the better product, but they have more money, they have more advertising, they have more of this. I said, yeah, but you have something that they don't have, and that is favor. Favor is when God makes you visible when the world thought you were going to be invisible.
Amen.
Favor puts you to the front of the line when the world says you're at the back of the line. Favor is when you get paid more than what you deserve.
Yes. Yes.
Favor is when God makes a way when there looks to be no way.
Right.
See, we never can underestimate God's favor in our life.
Right.
And see, and I'll tell you, it'll work with the prayer of faith. When you understand, listen, it works. You know, God gave you. He gave you faith. He gave you the prayer of faith to work in the natural realm where you live. So many people think, well, this sounds like religious superstition. Listen, let me read it to you again. Verse 23. Bible. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say or speak to this mountain, speak, say, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe your words that come out of your mouth. We know you believe God's word, but do you believe yours? Do you believe your word? You know, I've quoted it before. I was on a hunting trip this past May. You remember Pastor Brad was there? And we were on a hunting trip, and Dr. Scott Webb was there. And one night we were all in our bunks. We were staying in this cabin. There was eight of us there. And several of us were kind of in the main room. There's just a bunch of bunk beds and such. And we're laying there, and Dr. Webb was going back into his bedroom. And before he stepped through the door, and all of a sudden he stopped and he looked into the room and he said, hey, just remember, God's word in your mouth is just as powerful as God's word in his mouth. That's absolutely right. We think that God's word is powerful when he says it. But don't you believe it's just as powerful when we say it?
Yes, it is.
Isn't it still God's word?
Yes, that's right.
That's what Jesus is saying. If you'll believe in your heart that the things that you spoke were in line with the word,
that's it. Yes.
That's why they're final.
Yes, good.
Praise
yes.
the Lord.
Good.
Praise the Lord.
There you go. Amen.
But if you believe those things which you say shall come to pass, you'll have whatsoever you say.
Yeah, that's right.
You, therefore, whatsoever when you pray, whatsoever things you desire, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting how Jesus said, believe you receive them, then you will have them. Faith always receives. The prayer of faith, that's why it's final, because when you speak it, you believe you received it.
Yes.
Even though you don't have it.
Right.
Yes.
You don't have it in this realm, but you spoke it.
Yes.
You believe it. See, this is an element of faith. This is an element of the Christian walk. This is an element of the Word of God that the body of Christ has not gotten a hold of. They have not embraced it. They think it's weird. They think it's, you know, hocus. But no, this is how victory.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
This is what faith looks like.
Yes.
When you come up against obstacles, what did Jesus say? I already quoted it, you know, over there in John 16:33. He said, "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you shall have peace. In the world you shall have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world."
That's right.
How did Jesus overcome the world? Here was lack showing its face to Jesus. He was hungry, he had a need, and the thing didn't produce.
That's right, there you go.
What did he do to meet his need? He spoke. He spoke. Come on now. Praise the Lord. Go to Hebrews, because I just don't feel that some of you are convinced yet. I'm not saying this just for God's benefit. I'm saying it for yours. Because so many Christians, they come up against a hard place in life and they put up their hands and they say, "What do I do?" Move it!
Yeah, there you go.
I come up against a hard place. It's in my way, this trouble. What do I do? Move the thing!
That's right.
Take authority over it.
That's right.
Don't you realize you're a king and a priest on this earth?
Yes.
Don't you realize that all things have been given to you?
Yes.
Don't you realize how favored, loved, and blessed you are?
Amen. Yes.
Do you realize that, people are out there, Christians are nervous about the devil? No, you got it backwards. He's nervous about you.
Yes. Good, man.
He is so nervous that you're going to get a hold of this.
Yes.
Go to Hebrews 11. Got to show you this. I wasn't planning on going here. Verse 1, Hebrews 11, 1, declare some things.
Yes, absolutely.
Speak to those things. You know, I remember when the doctor came in and told my wife and I, "Your son's got asthma." I said, "No, he doesn't." And I wasn't denying what he thought the x-rays said.
Right,
we see the x-rays. We don't deny that in this realm is what the facts look like.
Sure.
We said, "Oh, no, in Jesus' name, every bit of that asthma, you come out of there. You come out of there.
Yes. Amen.
You come out of there." He does not have asthma. Verse 1, now even the symptoms are gone now. He hasn't had any of those symptoms for years now. Glory to God. You're going to have to speak to that thing. What are you going to do when trouble knocks on your door and something the devil says, "Here, I want to, put this on your life to burden you." The devil's going to send you care packages every day. And they're going to knock on your door, and there's going to be a delivery there. And you're going to have to decide, do I accept or receive those things? Or do I tell them to go? Listen, you have to understand that what is in you, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. 1 John 5:4. This is what overcomes everything in the world, even our faith. We could go and share testimony to testimony of so many people in here that may have been dead by now had they not learned the prayer of faith. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Just like that water that disappeared from the top of the surface, went down there, went to the unseen part. But I know it's going to change because it went in there. The evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through what? Through faith. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Let me make verse 3 a little easier for you. We could say it this way. We understand that God made everything you see by faith.
Yes.
Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. We know we can go back there to Genesis chapter 1, and then we can look at the creation account, and how many times was it say, "God said, God said, God said," 10 times.
Yeah.
This realm was created by spoken words. The chair you're sitting on, the concrete under the floor, the wood in this ceiling, every natural element in this earth was created by God's spoken word.
Yes.
And because it was created by faith, it is now changed by faith. It is moved by faith. Faith is the DNA of all physical substance.
Very good. Amen.
You could say it this way. Everything you need in life has an ear to listen for faith. It responds to faith. God made the natural realm, all the trees, all the mountains, all the oceans, every natural element, the oil in the ground, every natural resource, the gold, the silver. Everything he made came as a result of his words. He says, you have to understand that the things that you see were made from an invisible realm that was brought into being by God's spoken word. That chair you're sitting on, the elements in that was made ultimately by God's faith.
That's right. Glory to God.
Come on now.
Yes.
And that, therefore, everything has an ear to hear faith. It will respond to faith.
Yes.
Oh, I just feel like I'm inadequate, you know, trying to communicate this to you. Because I sense some people, they resist this kind of thing. You're resisting your very desires. You're resisting the very needs in your life that God wants to supply. You can't just think that by being a good Christian that things are going to come to you and meet your needs. God is going to expect you to use your faith.
Yes. Amen. That's right.
When you're a new Christian, you can get away without it for a little while. But after a time, God is going to expect every single one of us to use our faith. There's going to come a time, now listen to this, there's going to come a time when you will be required to stand on your own faith for healing, for your needs being met, all right? You can't just depend on the pastor's faith. You can't just depend on, you know, the leadership's faith or sister so-and-so or brother faithful or whoever, your parents' faith or whoever. You're going to need to stand on your own faith. This is why so many people that are taught this and grow up in a church like this that teaches this. This is why sometimes when things attack them and they try to get into a healing line or they try to have hands laid on them, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Because God expected you to grow up and learn how to use the prayer of faith for yourself. I've seen that. I remember with my own grandmother. You know, she grew up in a denomination that did not teach this. And, you know, when she came over and started, you know, coming to this church or whatever, you know, she learned some of these things. But at first she had a lot of, you know, debilitating issues in her body. I remember one, it was a Christmas Eve, and our family was all getting together, and one time Grandma didn't show up. I said, hey, where's Grandma? You know, she wants to be here. She would not miss Christmas Eve party for anything. And my grandpa was like, well, she's in bed, you know, her body is so sore and broken and all this stuff going on. She had problems in her bones and she couldn't even move. And I said, I want to go down there and see Grandma. So I drove down the road where her house was and I went in. I'm like, Grandma, what's going on? She's like, I just can't move. I just can't do this and this and that. I said, oh, well, do you want to be at the Christmas party? Yeah, oh yeah, I want to be there. You know, Grandma, do you believe that God can heal you? Do you believe that if I lay hands on you and declare the name of Jesus over you? And she said, yes. Yes, I believe that. I said, you want to go to the party? She said, yes, I do. I said, well, here we go. I said, Grandma, and I prayed the prayer of faith over Grandma.
Right, yes.
Grandma shot out of that bed. And she hopped in the truck or whatever I was in then and rode up the hill with me. She walked into that place and she walked into that door. I didn't even have her, you know, by the arm. She's 80 years old. She walks in. Everyone looks over and is like, what's going on? And she's just like rejoicing. She's literally doing this. She's like, God healed me. God healed me. God healed me. And she started rejoicing. And then I told Grandma, I said, okay, Grandma, now I'm going to need to teach you some things about faith so you can keep your healing. Because once you know it, a few months later, guess what? It all crept back on her. And one day I went over there, and this was now in the spring, and I went over, you know, of course I'd seen her many times before that, but I was visiting her again, and she was the same thing, in bed, just, you know, pain, decrepit, all this stuff. And I came in, and she said, well, she actually called me over. She said, hey, remember what you did for me back Christmas? I said, well, first of all, I didn't do that for you. I just acted on the word.
Yeah.
And it wasn't because I was a pastor or anything like that. She said, oh, will you do that again? She's like, I believe. Just lay hands on me again. I believe. Literally again, in Jesus' name, prayed the prayer of faith. She shot out of bed again. Went all through the summer, completely whole and healed. And I said, okay, Grandma, now I need to sit down and teach you how to use the prayer of faith for yourself because I won't always be here. You know what I mean? And see, she didn't know and understand these things. And so she was new to biblical healing and so on. And so the mercy of God, you know, you can carry Christians on your own faith for a little while, but after a time, he's going to require them to use their own. I sat down with Grandma. I had a Bible study with her at her house. I showed her all this stuff in the scripture. She got so excited. She went over and she grabbed the phone. And she was raised in a denomination which, praise the Lord, they believed in salvation, but they believed that God makes people sick, which is unbiblical. And so she picked up the phone and she called her sister and she said, you know, we've been taught wrong about this healing business. God wants me healed because every time I pray in Jesus' name, you know, I get healed and I'm feeling better and so on. And so she was just so excited. So I saw that two times. Another time a few months later, sure enough, laid hands on Grandma again. That one year there was four times where I prayed the prayer of faith for Grandma. Boom, just up out of bed, healed and whole. And then I would ask her, I said, Grandma, did you go back to those verses I gave you? No, I didn't. Just got to confess. And I'm not making fun of Grandma. Grandma's in glory now, praise the Lord. And I'm just saying, she admitted. She said, no, I really didn't. You know, and then I tried that fifth time. And I couldn't get Grandma healed that fifth time, you know. And she lived in that state for another year and a half or whatever. And Grandma just didn't want to use the prayer of faith for herself. And, you know, it's a good illustration. It's going to take. We can't depend on the faith for others. You know what I mean? We can't only just rely on the faith of other people. We can't just rely on the faith of our pastor. We can't rely on the faith of everyone around you. You know what I mean? Right. For your stuff. God is going to expect you to believe him.
Yes.
You know, he gave you a measure of faith. He expects you to use it.
That's right. Amen.
Come on now. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to have to feed our faith with the scriptures.
Yes. That's right.
Oh, we're going to have to know and understand these things. That this realm was all created by faith. It can be moved by faith.
That's right.
It can be moved by faith. What are you declaring? What are you speaking? What are you saying to those things? Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. You can go right there. I mean, we're in chapter 11. I mean, the great chapter of faith. You can look at verse 14. And it was talking about all these individuals that accomplished through faith. And in verse 14 it says, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And it's talking about whether it was Abraham to Moses, to Noah, to Moses, to all these great people of faith, whatever their struggle was, they always just kept declaring. They sought something else and they declared. The prayer of faith.
Amen.
The prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. Are you getting something out of this?
Amen.
The prayer of faith.
Amen.
So, oh, my goodness. Now, yes, it's completely okay. Write your prayer requests on our prayer cards. Our prayer team will pray for you. Okay? Yes, if you're in a service and someone calls out a need that you have, maybe you know, symptoms or a situation in your body, and you know they want to lay hands on you, yes, respond to that. But you can't only live off the prayer line for so long. Right? You can't only depend on the pastor's counseling for so long. There's going to be a time you're going to need, when you come up against a situation, you are going to need to release faith for yourself. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, so you're like, well, I'm not so sure. Listen, this is what God gave you. This is what God gave you. We have a lot of examples of it in the Word. This is what the devil doesn't know and understand. 1 Peter 5:8. Right? And we'll wrap this up right here. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Look at verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith.
Yes.
Aren't you glad? Faith is what the devil can't understand.
Right.
It's what sends him running.
Yeah.
The devil wants you to forget about this message.
Yeah.
The devil would love for you to never use the prayer of faith. Yep. You should be using the prayer of faith. I use the prayer of faith every day on my kids. You know, what does a prayer of faith look like with that? Well, I quote scripture because it's always good to pray scripture, right? I'll see my kids and I'll put my hand on them. Goodness and mercy follows you every day of your life, and you'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Right? You know that scripture, Psalm 23, right? Then Psalm 112, you know, it says, my seed shall be mighty upon the earth, and the generation of the upright is blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in their house. Their righteousness endureth forever.
Yes.
My kid run by me. Hey, your mighty seed on the earth in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Before they go to sleep, we're tucking them in. I always put my hands on my kids, and I declare faith over them.
Yes.
I'll say, Michael, the blessing of the Lord is upon you to live long on this earth and to turn many from iniquity. Every day of their life, I'm using faith on my kids. You know, every day I'm using faith for the finances of this church, for the finances of my home. This building is paid off in Jesus' name. I remember standing over in that building when we were in our first church building, which is up here. It's now our youth center. And I remember going in there every day to the office, and I would come out to that sanctuary, which is one, not even a third the size of this one, and I would step out in that sanctuary and I'd say, I declare you walls expand.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
That's right.
Walls grow, building come. I remember walking around the building, and of course, this is just what God does. I'm using these as an example. Please don't think that I'm saying, oh, look what I did. I'm using them as an example of what you can do.
Yes.
Right where you're sitting right now used to be a kind of a swampy wooded lot.
Yeah.
And it was just, you know, some dead trees, some living ones that people got upset when we cut them down. I got a letter in the mail saying, you murderer, you cut all those trees down to build your church. I said, well, you should come on in and see the inside of it. Because I can guarantee a lot more trees went down making these ceilings and these. Glory to God. That's right. We cut them down. We cut them all down. Murderer. That's literally what they called me. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm blessed because I'm hated for his sake, you know, whatever. But this lot here, this couple of acres, I remember just when I became pastor and stuff, I just knew that God had a plan for a facility right here. And I started just walking this property, and I just started to declare, building come in Jesus' name. You know, I just started speaking to this property, to this land. You know, I tell you, you need to be doing that in your home. You can be doing that for your marriage. You can be doing that for your spouse. I say every day, my wife is strengthened with all might of the Holy Ghost to her spirit. Strengthened with all might. You know, well, pastor, don't you need a 3-hour prayer? Nope, not in that case. I just speak to, I speak over my wife. I speak over my kids. This is how you overcome the world. I speak over my finances. I speak over my body.
Amen.
Like Smith Wigglesworth said, didn't he? The one that said, you know, I don't tell, or my body doesn't tell me how I feel. I tell my body how it feels.
Yeah.
I mean, amen. Praise the Lord. Did you get anything out of this today?
Yes.
I'm just going to be real honest. I do sense some resistance to this message. I do sense some, and it's not uncommon, because the devil hates this message more than anybody, because this is what keeps him at bay. This is when you understand that you are over him, you are far above all principality, power, and might in this world. Jesus said over there in Luke 10:19, behold, I give unto you power and authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. The Bible says over there in James 4:7, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you.
That's right. Amen. That's right. Yes.
You know, I love Dr. Summerall. Every time he landed, he preached in over 120 nations on the earth.
Right.
And every time he said his plane would land in these four nations, he'd step out on that ground. He said, devil, I'm just letting you know, I'm here.
Yes.
And he would start using his faith. I'm using my faith for the city of Jamestown.
Yes.
I'm using my faith for the city of Erie, Pennsylvania.
Yes. That's right.
Psalm 2:8, ask of me, the Lord says, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession.
Yes. Amen.
I always say, Father, I thank you. You know, the term heathen just means people that don't know the Lord.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean, you know, it's not an accusatory thing at all. The Bible definition is just someone that doesn't know God. You know, and so I say, Father, I thank you for every heathen in the city of Jamestown.
Yes.
Here they are. Oh, come on. No, I was. You know my testimony. Listen, I was sitting on the bar stool every night, drinking a 12-pack of beer every day of my life. That's where I was. You know what I mean? We as a family, we know exactly what I meant when I said that. I say that, though. Father, I'll take everyone the world calls an outcast, everyone the world says is broken, everyone that the world says is last, everyone that the world says is worthless. Come on in here and watch God find the gold in your life. Watch what you see what God will do with your life. So many of you could stand up and testify of where you were before Jesus. And he found the gold in you.
Amen.
Amen. There's souls like that in Erie, Pennsylvania. I just say, Father, when I'm in Erie, I say, I thank you, Father, for every heathen in this city. Everyone that no one else wants, we'll take them all.
Yes.
And Father, we thank you. You've chosen the weak things of this world to show your strength mightily. I speak that when I'm in Erie. I speak to that city.
Yes.
Say, every heathen, the uttermost parts of the earth for my possession, come on in.
That's right. Amen.
Come.
That's
right. See? You have to understand, you got to know how this works. You can't just look at a situation and be intimidated by it. You can't just come up against a hard place and say, oh, and shrink in front of it. Don't shrink in front of it. Make the hard place shrink in front of you. Say, oh, that hard place is going to break me. No, you break the hard place. People think that you're that you're glass and everything that's trouble out there is the diamond. No, you're the diamond. I don't break over the devil. He breaks over me.
That's right. Good.
You have to understand.
Amen.
You know, I'm not a metallurgist, you know, or, you know, someone, a geologist or somebody that understands. But you know that there's different stones and rocks or whatever that have different hardness. You remember that in geology class?
Yeah.
You know, this rock will break this one because it has a, you know, and then, of course, diamond being the hardest substance. There's nothing that can break a diamond outside of a diamond itself, right? You know, and so sometimes we think we're the lesser things coming against the harder things and we break over the harder stuff. No, 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 no. We're the diamond,
right?
We're the gold. We're the light of the earth. We're the salt of the earth because Jesus made us that way.
Yes.
Jesus made us that way. We're not any of these things on our own. You understand? I mean, have you realized how much you can do nothing without him? Have you remembered what you were doing before Jesus came into your life? I mean, I just look back and realize what a waste. What a waste I was until I knew Jesus.
Right.
You know, he's the vine, we're the branches. Apart from him, we can do nothing.
That's right.
So we exalt him. But you are in the vine.
Yes.
You're the branch.
That's right.
You're the part that carries the fruit.
Yes.
You need to use this faith. Do you get something out of this today? Let's go ahead and let's pray. Father.